A content warning, this story contains swears and drug references.
So can we start by pretending that you guys have just jumped on the call together?
How do phone calls usually start?
Bring, 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 bring. That's how they usually start.
You're listening to All the Best. I'm Maddie McQueen. And for the month of June, we're taking a little break and playing you some of our favourite stories we've produced over the last 12 months. One of our favourite episodes was a story produced by Erin Dick about her experience with endometriosis. So it's been a few months since we broadcasted your story about your endometriosis. What kind of responses did you get after the story went out?
Oh, I got lots of really great feedback from people, both on the production of the story, but also just like for sharing my experience. So that was really nice. My family all really liked it, which is great. Cause I think I like don't actually allow myself to complain as much as I as I want to or I do in my own space. So like for them to hear that and actually have words for what they can see that I'm going through was like probably a good way to like make things clearer about what my day-to-day experiences and what my needs are. And then like a lot of messages from people who I know, but, you know, maybe don't talk to all that much or share a lot about my life, who are just like, wow, I had no idea that you were going through anything like this. I think something that came out of this as well for me is that people who do have chronic illness or any type of invisible illness are still like capable of doing really cool things and being active in their community and pursuing their passions, whatever that looks like. And people shouldn't sleep on us, even if we like to sleep a lot or struggle sleeping, whatever that looks like for us. But people shouldn't sleep on us and our abilities just because we're a little different or need different things out of life to do well and to feel well.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fucking incredible. You're the best. You're one of the most talented people I know.
Oh my God, stop it.
I think I can speak as well. I think I can speak to the fact that like I see you pretty much every day when we are in a workplace, sit next to each other every single day. And I like know this is something you go through, but I think hearing the story and hearing you tell it gave me a lot of insight into that, which is, yeah, it was just really nice to understand you more, understand what you go through. And I think you've like done a really beautiful job of telling your story and making your experience heard.
Thank you. That's really sweet. Thank you. Yeah, you see me at work with those standing desks just all day, like playing with the standing desk and trying to find the happy medium. Spoiler, there is no happy medium. I will never be comfortable at my standing desk.
Have you managed to be comfortable at home? Have you found any situations in which you can sit and work that are comfortable in your house?
nothing for longer than like 45 minutes before I start to cramp. I'm currently like rolled up in a ball, kind of like hunchback of Notre Dame style in my sister's bed this time. I've been bed hopping because that's the only like sittable surface that we have at home. So I am in my sister's room currently and I am starting to cramp, but it's good. It reminds me I need to get up and move. So I don't mind it.
Well, if you're starting to cramp, maybe we should play your story.
That's a great idea, Maddie.
There's no way. No way we're using that.
Fuck you, Ryan. That was good.
Absolutely not.
That was a fucking phenomenal segue.
That was perfect, Ryan.
It was excellent.
Hi. How you doing? I have an appointment for Vinny. It's for Erin. Thanks.
I'm waiting for my appointment at my gynecologist. The room is full of old ladies and mellowed out babies. I remember how my gyno once called obstetrics and gynecology the practice of brats and twats. I giggled to myself. I was diagnosed with endometriosis about 18 months ago. or endo for short. It's more common than diabetes, but before I was diagnosed, I didn't know what it was. I'd heard of it, but had no idea how prolific it is and how hard it is to get a diagnosis.
Oh, right. How's it been going,
then? Well, I've been in a lot of pain.
Have you?
Yeah.
This is my gynecologist, Vinny Rane.
Which is a bit rubbish.
Yeah, I bet. That sucks.
Vinny likes to play the radio during his appointments. It's a nice change from the echo bouncing off of the white walls of doctors' offices. I met Vinny in October 2018. I'd been complaining to my GP for a while about 2 years of non-stop ridiculous pain. Menstrual pain, back pain, you name it. I wasn't sure what was wrong, but within a month, Vinny took me in for surgery, and when I woke up, I had a brand new diagnosis. I was just about to turn 21. I'm seeing Vinny today for a routine 3-month checkup. I didn't know much about endo when I was diagnosed. In fact, I still don't know a whole lot. So I asked Vinny to talk me through it from the start.
So I guess erin endometriosis really is the presence of endometrial deposits outside the endometrial cavity. So that's the cavity of the uterus. We think that probably up to 10 or 15% of women have endometriosis. And not all of them will be symptomatic, but for those that are, it can be a really debilitating illness, as I'm sure you well know. People present with endometriosis for a variety of reasons. Most commonly, they'll present with pain, and it's quite a specific pain. It's that cyclical pelvic pain that can radiate into the lower limbs or pain during intercourse. The other things they can present with are subfertility. So because of how endometriosis works, that can have a significant impact on people's fertility. And the other thing that we sometimes see are large endometriosis cysts, which we call endometriomas. But there are a number of theories as to where endometriosis comes from. And what that tells me is that we really don't have the answer yet. And if we don't know why endometriosis occurs, it becomes harder for us to discover a cure. So that's the inside of the uterus, just a bit of red and a bit injected.
Vinny is showing me photos of my insides taken with a tiny telescope from my laparoscopy, which is an operation for seeing inside the pelvis. This is how I got my diagnosis 18 months ago. The surgery sucked. I was off sick for 2 weeks. It took me a few days to pee pain-free afterwards. And even with private health cover, it put a solid dent in my savings.
That is endometriosis right near your colon.
Okay.
That's endometriosis just above your ureter, which is the pipe that takes urine from the right kidney into the pelvis. That's the left pipe, which is fine.
Okay.
So we removed all of that endometriosis there, all that endometriosis there.
Endo comes in 4 stages, 4 being the worst. I was a stage 3 when they went in and cut out their endometrial deposits that were causing my pain.
That's that pipe I was telling you about.
Ew.
So we got all of that out for you.
Wow.
Which is good.
Yeah. Wow. As we go through the photos, I'm gathering that they cut out a bunch of this stuff from my body. Each piece of tissue looks like an open wound. Vinny calls each photo of endometrial deposits a specimen. Vinny assures me that my insides were pretty messed up with this endo.
So you had a cyst and then specimens, which were these ones, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. All of which had endometriosis in them. Like every single one.
Cool. That's great. Okay. Well, I'm really taken aback by Vinny's reaction to seeing my ravaged organs. But I also can't help but laugh at the absurdity of the situation. This man is explaining the severity of an illness I have and knew nothing about until a little over a year ago. An illness that has no cure.
But for me, like, the main challenge, I guess, of learning that I had endo was like, okay, what do I do now? And then how do I, keep living like a normal human being?
I guess part of the difficulty we have is that endometriosis is a chronic illness, and so it really requires, I guess, a lifelong management plan. And because it's cyclical in the sense that it comes and goes, often people that don't suffer from endometriosis don't really understand it. And the effect that it has on people that do suffer from it is nothing short of catastrophic for many of them.
Vinny's right. Endo sucks. Diagnosis can take years, and the pain we experience often gets written off as just period pain, or even as normal. There's cysts, fatigue, nausea, painful sex, migraines, back pain, constipation, diarrhea. The list goes on. I spend the next 4 to 6 weeks monitoring my condition, day to day, trying to work out a management plan that works for me.
This is me doing my morning routine. Not really a morning person, but today's a good day, so we're going to get some vitamins out, otherwise known as placebos. So I take quite a lot of vitamins. Whether or not they work for my endo or for other reasons, who knows?
But in the morning, I take ginger for nausea, turmeric, magnesium, and fish oil for inflammation, probiotics for gut health, Vitex for PMS, zinc for something, evening primrose for hormonal support, and Mega B for fatigue and stress that comes with choking on these pills every day. I wash it down with a Barocca, then head out for work. I'm clutching my belly on the tram. I can feel a flare-up of pain coming on quick. I used to think I was fat when I was young. Turns out I'm just permanently bloated. I can't wait to get to work and undo my top button. I arrive at work with every intention of just going about my business when suddenly it feels like I'm being stabbed in the uterus over and over again. The pain intensifies and I run to the bathroom.
Literally feels like my insides are swelling to the point of explosion. I'm so tired as well. I feel it in my entire body.
I can't go home. I've already used all my sick days. I take some codeine paired with ibuprofen, make a beeline for the work kettle and brew a cup of peppermint tea. I only need to sit upright for another 8 hours.
Love that for me. All right. Here we go.
When I get home, I melt into the couch, turn on the TV for the company of white noise, then wait for 9 p.m. to come so I can finally turn it in.
It is 2 in the morning-ish, and I've just been woken up by none other than my uterus. I feel like there's something clawing at my insides. This happens a lot, the early morning wake-up calls intermittently throughout the night with my pain. So, I don't know, just like spend all day exhausted and then can't even sleep at night because of it. It's such bullshit. I hate it. Fucking sucks so much. I'm kind of faced with two options. One, lie here in pain in the hope that it goes away, which it might. It could, but it also might not. And two, get up, have a tea or something, take some painkillers. But to be honest, I'm too depressed about my situation to get up, so I'm going to go with option one, and I'm going to stay here and just ride it out. Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to try to get back to sleep.
That's an average day for me. Some days are good. I get up, I go to work, I can go out after work, and I'm okay. But then I have days where I'm in so much pain, I roll around nauseous in bed, debating whether or not to get up for hours on loop. Sometimes I just can't do it. Having endo sometimes feels like a big taboo. When we hear about period pain, we're told it's normal for that pain to put you out of action regularly. My periods growing up were always terrible. Sex has always been difficult. Without exaggeration, I haven't felt 100% since I first started getting periods. But I just thought that was how everyone felt. After I was diagnosed, I started talking with my friends about it. Very quickly, I learned that so many people in my life, some of my closest friends, had been struggling in silence with the same illness.
I'm India, I'm 22, and I'm a woman, and I've got endo. My diagnosis probably came too late, but after 8-9 years of putting up with pain after a really bad episode when I was 13, it came 6 months after it all picked back up again, so that would make it a year this month.
And you waited like a really long time for yours. I remember we talked and you were fighting your doctors for a diagnosis about something that you knew was wrong with you.
Oh yeah, I got an STI test because they thought I had chlamydia, and that was a really interesting conversation to have with a partner you've been with for 4 years and you knew that that wasn't it. And I also got told that I had phantom pains from a UTI, which I definitely knew wasn't the case because I wasn't matching any of the symptoms. So after those two, I kind of knew that this was time for me to take control.
I don't believe in the mind's power of healing. Like, I believe in oxycodone. Do you know what I mean? Hi, I'm Jackie Ficconi. I'm 25. I'm a woman.
When did you get diagnosed?
2015. I had a laparoscopy and a hysteroscopy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much that's how they were like, all right, sick. Suck shit, you got endometriosis. I used to be physically ill. Like, couldn't get out of bed, vomiting in the shower, crying.
Oh, God.
You know, like that really, when you're 15 and that's really what you want to feel, like when you're feeling your most beautiful.
Yeah, when you're in the prime of your life.
You're just shitting your pants and crying. Yeah, so I think like not being able to just like go about normal life is really frustrating.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think the shit thing for me is the cyclical nature of it.
Yeah.
I know that I'm in pain now and I'm like, oh, it'll go away eventually. That's fine. But I always know it's going to come back again.
It's going to come back, yeah.
And you don't know when either. You can't predict it.
Yeah, if I could put down a note in my diary that the third Tuesday of every month, you're going to have a really, really shitty, painful day, and then you're probably going to be in pain for another week, like being generous. It's not that it would make it necessarily better, but I think it would be easier to handle. You know what I mean? Whereas I think like the unpredictability of it is just like exhaust. It drains you so much because you're just constantly like, will it be today? Like,
yeah.
It's like waiting to die. I mean, it's not like waiting to die, but you know what I mean. It's.
But it is.
Yeah.
That's chronic illness.
Yeah.
Constantly waiting.
It's a funny thing because I've never really thought about it or referred to it as a chronic illness. And I think that's probably like one of those like lack of education things of like, I think like ever since I've kind of heard you referring to it as that and, you know, a few other people calling it that, I've been like, oh, right. I'm not just being dramatic and I'm not being, you know, oh, woe is me. It's a genuine thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever tried to ease your symptoms?
I tried acupuncture at one point when I was getting really desperate and the acupuncturist sat me down and said, we're going to fix your endo and we're going to cure your celiac disease. And I was like, oh my God, I've already paid for this session.
I am a very big believer in marijuana.
And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to my chiropractor. At first we were working on alignment of the pelvis and making sure that all pressure was alleviated to maximise the reduction of the inflammatory response of my system.
Ice baths, I'm a big fan of an ice bath. It sucks. Like, it sucks so bad. But, like, especially in summer, I'll just, like, fill up a bathtub with water and then put about 3 bags of ice in it and just like submerge myself.
Then we moved on to tissue salts, which I basically take 5 a day during a flare-up.
I heard a weird thing about eating a lot of parsley could help. So there was a period of my life where I just kind of ate a lot of parsley. And it was not pleasant and it did not help.
Where did you hear that?
Google. It's like one of those websites that tell you, like, if you eat cucumbers, you'll have a baby boy. And I had parsley with every meal, I think. Well, not breakfast, sometimes breakfast, but for like a month straight, and it did nothing.
I was picturing you eating just straight up parsley.
Oh, I did sometimes.
Okay.
I was like, this is normal, right?
I remember the first time I came to see Vinny after I got referred. There were screaming babies everywhere in the waiting room, and I was deeply uncomfortable with the whole thing. Babies really weirded me out. I'm slowly getting used to them now. Mommy. I'm here for my follow-up 6 weeks later.
Oh, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
When did you start getting your symptoms back again?
When? I don't know now.
Was that they resolved again or is it still
there? No, it's worse. It's worse since the last time I saw you, which was a few weeks ago now.
I mean, well, you've effectively got sort of 1.5 years out of the last surgery, so...
Is that good?
Yeah, it's something. I mean, for that kind of endo, yeah.
Great. Surgery once every 18 months for the rest of my life sounds exhausting and expensive.
Having sex at the moment?
No.
Okay. When was the last time you did?
Probably over a year ago.
Did it hurt?
Yeah.
Is that the reason it's stopping you, I think? Or are you just, at the moment, just not interested or whatever?
Combination.
Yeah.
Combination, yeah.
So it feels just like it was before? Or do you think we got it a bit earlier this time?
I think we got it earlier. But like I said, it's kind of incremental. So each couple of weeks, there's more and more days where I'm having flare-ups. And since I last saw you, there have been at least one day a week where I was couch-ridden with pain.
When are you going to have a baby?
Probably not. I don't really want children, but, you know, that could change. Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what my mum keeps telling me.
I went and saw my gyno recently and he was like, oh, so when are you having kids? And I've actually never really wanted kids. And that might change, who knows, but I guess I was really taken aback by, like, his assumption that I would, like, that's my sole purpose on this planet is to reproduce, and that's the only reason I'd want my organs to work is so that I could have children. My mum, has been grilling me lately to, like, make sure I go and get some eggs frozen. And, like, at 22, that's not really something you're thinking about a lot. It really takes away a lot of your decisions in life from, like, your ability to wear certain clothes to your ability to go to work every day or your ability to have children down the line, which I think is, like, really profound for an illness that we don't talk about a lot.
Oh, yeah, and for our age to having, like, even though I'm 22 and have no plans for family in the near future, it definitely was something where I was like, no, I need to think about this now and tackle it now so I have time to grieve and prepare I guess. If kids weren't on my mind, it's still something I can't have that I'd want to have just so I've got the option to have it. But further on that, the amount of hormone-based hurdles that we have to go through, not only if we were going to freeze our eggs or go through IVF if it does pronounce an issue for us, but even to like my management option at the moment, like our bodies don't need that. Like there should be a better option, and it doesn't seem like there's anything better than what we're trying.
Here's Vinny again.
Probably the most troubling, I guess, myths are that this is somehow the sufferer's fault. I've seen a lot of women who have been told, often by their family members, that it's due to their lifestyle or dietary changes. And the fact of the matter is, as far as we know, that's just simply not true. There may well be a genetic component. We often see that endometriosis does run in families. The other issue is that like any other sort of chronic condition that can come and go and cause pain in an area that we can't clearly see, many of my patients have thought that this is in their head.
I think it just genuinely surprised me, and I think probably everyone, you'd probably find this, like it just genuinely surprised me how hard it was to get doctors to take me seriously. Like, I would sit there, especially because, like, my mum and, like, my grandmother has a history of it. Like, it's clearly a thing that runs in our family, and it's just so frustrating. Like, it's so frustrating. You're in such severe pain, and, like, you actually start to think you're going crazy. Like, to the point of, like, am I literally hallucinating? Like, is it, like, phantom pain? Because it's, like, you can't touch it, feel it, see it, that kind of stuff. So it just kind of, you just start to go a little bit mad, I think.
At the end of that appointment, I signed the papers to lock in my second laparoscopy. That was a few weeks ago. Since then, I called up Vinny to cancel. My body wasn't ready. My mind wasn't ready. Right now, the surgical solution to endo is cutting it out and throwing it away, which doesn't seem to be working long-term for everyone. There's talk about looking at the genetic components of the disease with hopes of developing a vaccination for it. Exciting, but that's a long way off. Sometimes I feel really hopeless about everything, and the more time that passes, the more I just feel bored. Bored of feeling hopeless. When we hear about medical conditions like mine, the conversations are usually dry and clinical. It makes us uncomfortable to talk about how illness, particularly one so deeply rooted in medical misunderstanding and social stigma, changes the way we move through the world. It helps to know that with a bit of effort, these conversations are getting easier. I hope that we can get to a level of community awareness where employers, partners, friends, and everyone around us can understand the impact that this illness has on a huge number of people. From there, I hope that we can start to build a level playing field for everyone with a chronic or invisible illness. I've been trying out some new things to keep my symptoms at bay. I've added some new vitamins to the mix. I'm trying out a new contraception combination and playing hormone Russian roulette. My boobs hurt all the time, and I'm crying 3 times a day. But I'm getting back into yoga. I'm taking lots of codeine, but I've booked in to see a physio who specialises in endo. All of this is adding up, emotionally and financially. But I'm hoping that I can find the right mix of things that can give me more time. A few extra pain-free hours in the day. A few extra months in between the inevitable of going under the knife. A few more years until, maybe, we find a cure.
This episode was produced by Aaron Dick. The supervising producer was Britta Jorgensen. If you want to learn more about endometriosis, you can go to Endometriosis Australia's website at endometriosisaustralia.org. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. All the Best is made at FBI Radio in Sydney, in association with SYN and 3RRR in Melbourne. This episode was mixed and compiled by Alina Godwin. Our executive producer is Ryan Pemberton. Jordan Fennell is our Victorian State Coordinator. The All the Best Community Coordinators are Chloe Gillespie and Danny Stewart. Our SYN Community Coordinator is Lee Robinson. Matilda Fay is our social media producer, and I'm your host, Maddie McQueen. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and we're made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find out more at cbf.org.au. You can find all of our episodes at allthebestradio.com. We're also a podcast, so subscribe.